Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, August 28th regular meeting of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors. Ms. Cassiola, would you please call the roll?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
President Byrne?
Here. Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any comments for agenda review? Seeing none, we'll move on to report out of closed session. Mr. Schultz.
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council met in closed session to discuss the appointment of new district council. No action was taken under the Brown Act that requires reporting.
Thank you. Just for everybody's edification, the purpose of the Board of Directors meeting is to conduct the business of the community in an effective and efficient manner. For the benefit of the community, the Oceano Community Services District asks that you follow board meeting guidelines while attending board meetings and treat everyone with respect and dignity. This is done by following meeting guidelines set forth in state law and board policy. Disruptive conduct is not tolerated, including but not limited to addressing the board without first being recognized, interrupting speakers, board members, or staff, continuing to speak after the allotted time has expired, failing to relinquish the podium when directed to do so, and repetitiously addressing the same subject. Given that, welcome to the meeting, everyone, and those of you at home, and we will now take public comment on matters not on the agenda. Please approach the podium and please tell us your name.
Good evening, Julie Tacker. I was kind of reminiscing about the last 15 years I've been coming to Oceano and how many raucous meetings I have seen here. And I have to say, never once did the chair, did the council, commit the board, ever consider taking public comment down to 1 minute. Public comment for items not on the agenda, as your neighbors in Arroyo Grande have done. And I want to thank you for that and thank the prior boards for that, because 3 minutes is so little time. People have something to say, let them say it. Then the other subject I wanted to talk to you about is I saw a press release from Salud Carbajal, our congressman, granting $14 million to Central Coast Blue. So I'd like to know more about that and what the strings are attached to that. But what I want you all to do is don't think it's over, because the impacts of the project, whatever iteration of life is breathed back into it, have impacts on Oceano and South Grover Beach. And of that grant money, you get zero. And the benefits of the project, you get zero. The seawater intrusion threat, as said by the Water Board, is to PB23, which is the Pismo Beach well that is in Grover Beach, that is closest to the ocean, and not Oceano. So let's stay tuned. Don't take our eye off of it. Be hyper aware, because clearly some things are happening behind closed doors. And I watch the Pismo agendas, and they're not on the agenda. So stay tuned.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, good evening, Pamela Stern. I want to say how much I appreciate you also. I've been at Grover Beach's meeting, Arroyo Grande's meeting, You can't even say hello and thank you, Madam Chair, at a Roy Randy, because you have no time. You have no time to be respectful. You just have to get your words out. And interesting if they'll be listened to. I am here to tell you thank you for keeping the time for the people. I didn't realize that Ms. Tacker was going to speak on CCB. That's what I was going to just say, be aware and watch. Status quo is status quo. We've had some public records requests. It's full steam ahead and with the city of Pismo Beach. And what I find ironic is there's a house that's going to be built on the canyon, on the freeway, up in the hills in Pismo. Pismo is going to help their citizens fight that because it's coming through their streets on Longview, and the county has approved it, and the people are going to build. It's going to be in their view shed, but the treatment plant and the impacts to South Grover and Oceano, the sewer treatment plant, are 100-fold. But their city is going to fight the county. Oceano did not fight for their citizens when CCB first came. Grover Beach did not. Pismo Beach is going to do it now, and I'm hoping their citizens see the hypocrisy of what Pismo Beach is doing to these towns without benefit. Status quo is not okay. People are on board. Oceano's on board. This weekend at Stone Soup, a Grover H2O had people coming up from Oceano and Grover. I'm not kidding. What petition do I sign now? Where do I go? What do you want from me? How do I help? And it is a big movement. I just hope all of you as elected officials are on board, understand it's an issue this election. Don't hide behind it. Don't let it slip under, because it is going to impact you. And I am so much appreciate you. But now that we know what's happening, let's protect Oceano to the best we can. And thank you again.
Additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move into special presentations and reports. Unless there's any response from directors or staff to public comment, I'm sorry. Okay, seeing none of that, we'll move on. First up is the Sheriff's South Station and Commander Dowdy, and he called in and let us know he could not be here tonight and we won't have a representative. Same is true for Five Cities Fire Authority operations. That being said, is there any comment? Do any directors have any information they would like to be communicated to either the commander or the fire chief from us from the meeting tonight?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, is there any comment from the public that they would like to have communicated to either the sheriff, commander, or fire chief out of the meeting tonight?
Just on next door this afternoon, and it should go, there was mention of a gang assault on some teenagers on the pier in Oceano. Of course, we don't have a pier, but there may be some confusion, and it's out there circulating. I think it was very premature of the person that posted it. But supposedly it was gang members, which I don't appreciate, you know, that word, and blaming people before you know who did that. But I just would like to see if you guys know, or if the commander knows, or if there's any report. It was also told, it's also been said, that no report was taken, and one of these teenagers, they were fishing, has a broken collarbone. I find that very unusual that the sheriff's office wouldn't take a report on something like that, along with broken windows and stuff. So maybe somebody could follow up on that.
Okay, thank you for that.
I think it was in Pismo that it happened. It would have been the Pismo police, I would think, but something we need to ask, because and then the poster just assumed it was Oceano and said the gang thing, which is just completely false. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they need to take that down.
Okay. Thank you.
Somebody called me from Texas and said, did you see that thing?
I tried to report it to next door. They said there was a problem with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well.
Okay. Next up, our operations utility system manager, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, utility system manager. So for the past couple weeks, we're still doing our daily rounds, weekly and monthly samples. We had 6 work orders, 9 USAs, 5 customer service calls, 4 after-hours call-outs. One was at the 2200 block of Ocean. Five Cities Fire was on the scene for a water break. Then I got a phone call a little after midnight, responded. The fire department talked to the neighbor. The neighbor said to shut off the water, and that is what I did. And about 45 minutes later, a resident called, complaining of his water being off. Went back out there, met with the resident. It's a unique situation. Got the water back on. Come to find out, he had observed a spigot on for all day and night. He got it shut off. It was just a very unique call out. Took about 2.5 hours to get everything taken care of. Second call out was for a service line break over on Wellmar. It was on the customer side. Shut it off so we could make the repairs. Went back out, got it turned on. The third call out was at 1900 block of the Pike. Same situation. It broke on the customer side. Went out there and got it shut off. They had it repaired, got it turned back on. The last two were over a weekend also. And the fourth after hours call out was we had lock offs for no payments, and we had multiple customers pay after hours. So the operator went out there and turned them back on. We're still replacing meters, a few of those. We are continuing our inventory of all the water service lines in our system. It is taking quite a while because we have over 2,200 of them. We've really been focusing on that project for the past couple weeks. We're getting there because it has to be submitted to the state by the middle of October, October 16th. Continuing to pick up trash, we had 3 311 tickets for the month of July. We had 2 of our employees attend a water treatment class at Grover Beach City Hall. One was for contact hours. The other one was for preparation to take his T2 license. And paving on Wellmar from the service line that had broke a few weeks ago. We finally got some asphalt, did some paving on Wellmar. We paved the service line that broke on Paso. Got that repaved, and the manhole on 19th, we got that repaved after we repaired it. And we also had lock-offs in the past couple weeks. And then I'd also like to extend an invite to every member of the board to tour our facility. And with that, we can, even though some of you have toured it, we can do it again. There's some new things that are out there. I'd be more than happy to pick you up in the new service truck, how I did bring it here after a board meeting. We can coordinate that. Or if you want to go in pairs of two, you're going to have to most likely drive your own personal vehicle. Because the service truck is, 2 of us can fit in there. It's a little tight to put 3. Any questions?
Thank you.
Yeah,
do we have to climb to the top of the tank?
You're more than welcome to. There's a staircase with the handrail. It is quite steep, let me tell you that.
What's the view up there?
it's an amazing view.
Nice pictures.
It's beautiful. There's a 360-degree handrail up there, so no fall protection required.
Well, what about, do you have any mountaineering gear?
We do. That's for the other tank. We can climb that one also with fall protection.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend that one.
I'd need that and the rail.
Yeah. So just get a hold of me at the office if you want to tour the facility, and the new service truck I can pick you up at.
I've got a quick question. What proportion of our service sites, our customers, would you say know how to turn off the water at the meter?
So,
I mean, if I had a broken line on my side, I'd know I could go down there and turn it off at the meter.
In the meter box, we have an angle stop that is the district's. We own that section plus the meter. I do not recommend anybody to turn that because if it does break, we have to dig up the street to shut that line off and make repairs. Some of the meter boxes and residents do have a customer shutoff in the box, and that you should be able to turn with your hand.
Yeah.
The other one requires what I've seen some unique tools to turn our side.
Yeah.
Crescent wrenches to you name it. Yeah. Hammers, do not recommend that.
Okay.
But
is that where you do the thing like
definitely this? Educate plumbers, residents, everything on the angle stop. Please do not touch. Okay. Call us. We will come out free of charge and shut the water off for repairs.
Okay.
Yes.
That might be a little banner on the insert for water, maybe, for people, just yes. to let them know that.
Because if it does break on us, and sometimes it does, just because of age, and just it happens.
Yeah, I know about breaking with age.
Yeah. Some of us need repairs at times.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
with the water system. We will fix it if we break it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Maricino.
Thank you.
Next up, staff report from our general manager, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Barney, members of the board. I will go over some of my highlight activities since we last met. On Friday, August 16th, I met with the Pismo Beach Public Works Department to discuss NCMA consultant services and annual reporting, review some of our groundwater data, and collaborate on some RFP postings and bid portals. They have a good system for that in Pismo. On Monday, August 19th, I met with MKN engineers to review the preliminary design plans for the Halcyon and Kenmar Gardens consolidation project. The next day, the MKN team, the utilities manager, and Halcyon representatives did a field walk to solve some of those design issues related to meter placement, dead-end flushing, and service lateral location for new connections. And in the same vein, on Wednesday the 21st, the RCAC, the Rural Communities Assistance Corporation, staff led the monthly Halcyon consolidation meeting. I know that project's been going on for a long time, but we're still making progress on it. Early last week, the NCMA technical group held an annual meeting with some of the local ag representatives to discuss the latest data related to groundwater usage, recharge, and recent monitoring, along with estimation tools for ag industry usage. I pushed for some better data verification of the ag usage to better understand margins of error in that reporting. On Thursday the 22nd, I attended a quarterly countywide disaster planning advisory committee meeting that was held at the SLO County Office of Emergency Services, coordinated with Cal Poly's Department of Emergency Management. And the value of that meeting is discussing best practices and preparing for certain emergencies like wildfire and earthquake, including things like backup generator priority for lift and pump stations, something that affects us when we get a regional impact disaster. Staff has posted two addendums to our RFP for the sanitary sewer capital improvement plan, which closes on September 20th, and it shows interest from the design engineers in helping us with things like CCTVing our sewer system, creating a list of priority pipe replacements, and helping us redesign our undersized and ill-placed sanitary lift station. The notice of completion is on your agenda tonight for the 300-gallon water tank, and staff has received preliminary analysis for work needed to rehabilitate our larger 1 million-gallon tank, so we'll be moving forward with some of that work soon. OCSD staff requested that the County Planning Department and the Coastal Commission issue a consolidated coastal development permit for our waterline improvement project CIP. That consolidated permit has been granted by the county and the Coastal Commission. The benefit of that is it helps streamline our work to remove some of the dead ends in our water lines and upsize and replace some aging infrastructure. We've received our solid waste rate application from South County Sanitary Service, which contemplates 3.75% rate increase for solid waste services. The current phase of that project is OCSD staff, and the R3 consultants are working with regional partners to evaluate the quality of that rate application, which will be coming to the board later this year. And just, I was asked to give a recap of some recent trainings that I and other staff have done. Andres Mendoza and I attended an all-day water sampling class put on by the RCAC. They also put on an accounting and internal controls class attended by Ms. Cassiola and myself. And I also attended, as you all know, the California Association of Sanitary Agency annual conference to learn about grant funding opportunities for the sewer system, among other topics like the future of clean water. That concludes my report this evening. Okay.
Questions, comments from directors?
No.
Okay. Then we will thank you, Mr. Brown. We will move on to Board of Directors and outside committee reports, starting with Director Villa.
None.
Director Gibson.
Nothing to report.
Director Austin.
Nothing.
Director Joyce Sunnison.
Nothing to report.
That brings it to me, and I don't have anything to report either. So any public comment on special presentations and reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Ms. Cassiola, are you taking this? Consent agenda?
Staff has no changes at this time.
Okay, all right. Is there any directors that want to pull an item for further discussion or have specific questions?
Just have a comment.
Okay, or a comment.
Yeah. Yeah,
Director Austin?
I just want to comment on 8D that I'm really happy to see this here. This is to support the Proposition 5. So I'm glad to see that we're writing that letter. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. Anything else? Then I look for a motion to approve as listed here.
Public comment.
Oh, excuse me. Public comment on items on the consent agenda. My apologies.
Good evening, April Dury, Oceana resident. At this point, I only have one question, and that is for page, sorry, I'm not gonna be long, so sorry. Page 10, it is, I don't know, about the sixth or seventh one down. It is an item to Civic Plus, for $2,400, and I did a search through the website, and I've never seen that expense before, so I'm just curious why we're paying, what it is that the ratepayers are paying $2,400 for Civic Plus. That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I was looking at the items that Mr. Brown just mentioned about the training and the classes and seminars. You have a MasterCard credit card disbursement page 16 in your packet, and the GL code that is these charges are assigned to are in administration. Yet I just heard that the classes were related to wastewater, so I'm wondering if that should be coded to the wastewater training classes, okay, or split somehow. Just a question.
Thank you. Other public comment? Seeing none, would staff like to respond?
Sure, President Varney. With relation to the admin fund, we fund that out of primarily the water and wastewater funds at pretty relatively proportional splits to our fees. And so that admin fund is indeed paying for the work that we do on the water and on the wastewater side. And I'll turn over the Civic Plus question to Ms. Cassiola.
Thank you. President Varney, members of the board. So Civic Plus is Muni Code. That's where we do our codification of ordinances. It used to be called Muni Code, and it was bought by Civic Plus.
Okay. Thank you. Any other further public comment? Okay, seeing none.
I'll make a motion to pass the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved in and seconded by Directors Gibson and Austin to approve. Ms. Cassiola, please.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Austin.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison.
Yes.
And President Varney.
Yes. Okay. Moving on to business item 9A. We will start with the staff report, then we will go to director questions on item 8A, then we'll go to public comment, and then we'll go to further director discussion. Ms. Cassiola, I believe item 9A is yours.
Thank you, President Varney, members of the board. 9A, we have the adoption of the final fiscal year 2024-2025 budget. So just a short recap of how we got here. So the preliminary budget was approved on June 26, 2024, that meeting, and that's where we established our revenues and expenditures. Then at our last meeting on August 14th, we established our encumbrances. And then here in front of you today, we take the revenues, the expenditures, the encumbrances, the savings from last year, and we present the reserves and how they will, this table is on page 32 of your agenda package. So today we're here to adopt the reserves on how the revenues, the expenditures, the encumbrances, the savings from last year all affect the beginning and final reserves. And that will be, we'll review the estimated ending as of June 30th, 2025. So basically the end of next year. So the increases and decreases to reserve, they include our fund balance available, which we also reserved at, during our quarter four budget review, and that's from the previous year. And we carry that forward, so we'll start with our general fund. So the general fund, which includes lighting, parks and rec, and fire, and remember for fire, we're only paying for half of the year. This is based on our revenues, expenditures, and encumbrances, and on June 30th, 2025, reserves will lower by $145,886 for an ending balance of $73,369. And obviously the large decrease there, as we remember during our June 26th meeting, was that Five Cities fire costs increased from 1.1 to 1.7, which basically comes out to a monthly cost for this current year as $142,000 a month, when last year it was only $95,000 a month. So you see that large difference there. In the facilities fund, you're gonna see they are lowering by a total of $194,975, and that is a combination of the increase that we'll get based off our savings from last year, and obviously we're gonna only collect rent from the sheriff's building for half the year. And then we see that large decrease on the second line. I also added a column second from the right called divestiture costs. So those are our public facilities fees, which are estimated at June 30th, 2025 to be $249,712. And then also a part of our county plan of service that we negotiated with the Board of Supervisors calls for $90,000 of our reserves to be sent to the county for facilities improvements at the sheriff's office.
I have a question about mm-hmm. that one. The facilities fees, that $339,000, mm-hmm. those are monies that developers pay or the home buyers pay for various school fees, school impact fees, maybe utility hookup fees, all of that sort of stuff. And ours is, and for parks and recreation as well, ours are all of those fees that would be coming to us are earmarked, have been legally earmarked to go for fire protection. Is that correct?
Correct. Fire and emergency service. We entered an agreement in, I believe, 2017 with the county for that.
And so once we're divested, does that still stay the same?
That once we're divested, we will receive zero. They will just stay at the county. There'll be an agreement in our September meeting to basically amend the 2017 agreement we currently have with the county and to basically just keep those fees with the county since they'll be providing those services.
Well, okay. I'll have further discussion. I'd like to learn more about this and what is the option we have for keeping that money in Oceano rather than sending it to the county. I don't know if this is the place for it, but it isn't. I didn't think so. Okay. Well, I'll just put it out there.
Yeah, they were earmarked for when you provide or improving a building or a facility that provides fire and emergency services. So the only time the district, at least in my time here, has used it is when we did the emergency generator project, which basically provides emergency power to the sheriff's building, this building, and obviously the bay next door. And the only portion we were allowed to use of public facilities fees was the amount that provided service to the bay next door. So no fees were allowed for this building or the sheriff. So that's the only time we've been able to use them in since 16.
Thank you very much.
We discussed that during our talks about divestiture, as I remember.
Okay.
Facility fees and all of that.
Yes, I recall those discussions as well. So here it is up again.
Yeah, so this is us estimating with our reserves so we can approve that when divestiture is complete and send that to them.
Okay.
So this is giving us the authority. Well, the agreement would also give us the authority, but I have it predicted in our budget as well so that I don't have to come back for a budget adjustment.
Thank you.
Of course.
Please continue.
Yes. Okay, so that will leave facilities with $54,737 as our ending, estimated ending as of June 30th, 2025. So then this basically takes us to the enterprise funds, so halfway down the page. We'll start with our water fund. You see here we have a large amount being increased to our reserve. Most of this has to do with what we encumbered at our last meeting. We had about $1.2 million in grant revenues we were waiting on. So the majority of that increase is grant revenues for the stormwater project and also the tank project. And so that's the large increase there. Also, we had savings from last year. And that basically, on June 30th, 2025, we'll have $2,522,776 estimated reserves in water. Okay, then the next is our wastewater fund. You'll see here we're decreasing by $87,301. This is because which we've also gone over, the wastewater revenue structure is a fixed rate, which hasn't been increased in a long time, and we have funds in our wastewater fund to do a rate study and increase those and do an analysis. Then we have our solid waste fund. You'll see here we're going to lower by $7,645. So there, most of that is from savings from last year. And we also have a resolution that we adopted in 2020. And the resolution is 2020-02. And that reduced our franchise fees that we received from South County Sanitary Services from 10% to 5%, which we'll also consider with the solid waste rate application we received and we'll be reviewing later this year. So with that, our next step is any questions for staff. We're happy to considering comments, changes, and then this final approved budget that has been attached to your agenda will go to the county office, county auditor's office. It'll also go to the local agency formation commission, LAFCO. And with that, we are happy to answer any questions.
I think we're all good.
No. Director Gibson, any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, seeing no questions from directors, we will go to public comment on this topic.
You're adopting the whole thing after just that bit of comment from your staff.
No, next up is director discussion.
Oh, after me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, we want to get public input.
But you're adopting the budget.
Yes, this is the final.
None of you had any further questions.
Because
you did have your preliminary budget back in June. I get some of that. I guess I'm not completely satisfied with the answer that I got in my previous public comment related to trainings and seminars and where they're coded to, because your wastewater and your water fund both also have trainings and seminars line items. So the majority of the funds that are for trainings and seminars are in your administrative fund, I'm not clear now why you would have any administrative or trainings or seminars in those water and wastewater funds if, because of the way the two funds fund admin, why do you need it all spread out like that? So specifically if you're going to a wastewater seminar, it seems to me that wastewater should pay for that. Same with water. If it's an administrative seminar, some Brown Act training or something like that, I get it. That's admin. So that's just puzzling to me. And clearly you need to be cutting costs to go forward because you are going to lose some revenues and some reserves. So maybe trainings and seminars is somewhere you have to look. So thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And is there any director questions?
President Varney, would you like me to give more input on the training and seminars in water and wastewater?
Please.
Okay.
I think that'd be helpful.
Yes. So we have both funds support training and classes, and those are mostly for our operators. They have to do continuing education to maintain their licenses. So we had two staff members in Grover Beach. Luckily, that one's free because it was offered by RCAC. Calrural Water, it's another agency that helps out disadvantaged communities, and we don't have to pay the actual training fee. But there are others that we have to pay for them to maintain their continuing education for their licenses, which renew every 2 years, 4 years, three years. Thank you.
And so are you saying that those trainings are paid out of the water fund?
Water and sewer.
That they're continuing education kind of things? Okay. Thank you. Then looking for a motion to approve the final fiscal year 2024-25 budget of OCSD.
I move that we approve the final 24-25 budget.
I second that.
Been moved and seconded.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Joy Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Varney?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to an information item. I believe you're handling this, Mr. Brown, on the scary forever chemicals and regulations for getting them out of our drinking and wastewater.
That's right, Mr. President Varney. I wanted to talk a little bit about the current state of PFAS in terms of both of our major utilities, water and wastewater. There's a lot of discussion and regulation happening right now in terms of how we test, how we clean up, who pays for testing and cleaning up. And I thought, as I got deeper into it, it would be important to put together a staff report that kind of looked at the state of PFAS right now. It is a topic that's being discussed both on the water and wastewater side, primarily because for the first time, maximum contamination levels have been developed for PFAS. And our OCSD did our first round of PFAS testing last year. We tested twice. Those were funded by the state. Luckily for us, or maybe not luckily, we did not have any significant levels, and so we put that in our consumer confidence report. We're slated to do it again next year. We'll be coordinating with the state to ensure that we're testing our drinking water. On the other side, as relates to sanitary treatment, there's going to be an increasing set of regulations to make sure that as we clean our wastewater, it's done in a way that addresses PFAS. One of the big industry concerns here is the fact that manufacturers, large companies, people who develop, you know, pans and Gore-Tex and a lot of waterproof things and synthetic turf, a lot of these profit-making companies that have been selling goods that contain PFAS for the last 50 or 60 years have made their profits and have done great with the use of this, you know, set of chemicals that create these products. On the back end, those of us that operate utilities are left to some degree with the requirement to test, to remove, to ameliorate the pollution that, you know, sticks around. And so I also put in the report that the EPA has come up with a way to address that, and that's a big finding for us. And I think as we move forward, we'll continue to work with state and federal regulators to make sure that the cost is not borne by us and our ratepayers for a lot of this work, but it needs to be coming from those that have made profits on the use of the chemicals. So I think if I was to point out anything else, when I talk about the rulemaking on, I guess it's page 81 of the packet, initial monitoring must be complete, and I noted that OCSD's initial PFAS monitoring occurred in 2023 at two separate locations, came back negative. EPA will inform staff of our next round of testing, likely in 2025, and that testing is also expected to be funded at the federal level, and it won't come from us. Mr. Maraschino and I are here for any board questions on the PFAS report. Information only, but it was good to document all this and let you know that we're on top of the regulations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for the thorough report and the information that you provided to us. And before I turn to directors for questions to you, I just want to acknowledge Ms. Cassiola, all the work you did in putting together the budget and all the meetings that we had together. It was really an excellent job. Much appreciated. So back to questions on these things.
Yeah,
Director Austin, did you want to lead off?
Do you want to go ahead?
No, go either.
Well, this is something. How long have we been testing for this?
Testing is brand new because this has just become a regulated pollutant.
Okay, so the first time was in 2023?
Correct.
Okay, and then we were negative, completely negative.
Yeah.
It looks like it's more detected in where there's, like, big manufacturing and things like that. So, like, we're not really likely in this area to have this come up, but we do test every year. And so I think it's nice you brought this to us, but I feel pretty confident that we're taken care of. What could, you know, following the state water and the EPA, following all their rules and guidelines, I think we're right there taking care of this. So
I agree.
Yeah.
And you are correct, Director Austin, that there are higher concentrations in certain areas where the manufacturing is nearby. But you know, Mr. Maraschino will tell you it is such a ubiquitous material. It is everywhere. And so as the concentrations go up and the usage goes up, I think the testing and the regulating becomes more important.
Isn't that like where you hear like there's plastics in the ocean that you don't even see? Or,
yeah, and like in our bloodstreams.
Fish, yeah, in our, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, this is interesting.
I have a question. So if this, any of these are found, like the levels are too high, then what? Then a notice is sent out to everyone, don't drink your water, and then what do we do?
Yeah, then we have to come up with a way, just like with any other regulated pollutant, we'd have to come up with a method to remove it and reduce it below the maximum levels. And so that's where it comes into, you know, who's paying for that? We didn't, you know, as a water utility, we didn't create the pollution for in our drinking water. And so that's something that we have to be aware of, and that's exactly the crux of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Is this on the report that comes out every year?
Yeah, our latest consumer confidence report notes that we did
the
test
twice. The one
that
we get in our water
in 2023, okay. And we'll note whether or not we test every year in our annual report.
Okay, thank you.
Director Gibson?
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit at Zone 3, and aren't airports one of the worst polluters also?
The source, yeah, concentrated source, yeah.
Right, and then also what the firefighters use to fight fires.
Correct.
That's a worry for them.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from directors? Seeing none, we'll open it up to public comment on item 8B. Seeing no public comment, then we'll any further discussion from directors? I'd like to just make a brief comment about it, that I hope that things stay the same as Director Austin was expressing, and that this is not an issue that we are going to have to deal with. But this is a an example of a very classic example of a failure from the get-go to not completely test, evaluate, and regulate these chemicals so that they are got out into the entire system. The test of the toxicity of these chemicals was done on the public, and we're experiencing the consequences of it now. I really appreciated the talking points, the opinion point page. I don't have the number committed to memory that you included, Mr. Brown, from the water providers and wastewater treatment national organizations who don't exactly share optimism that the EPA is going to be very effective or forthcoming, and in fact that the federal laws that require that the pollutant producers pay for all the cleanup, they're already seeing cases where groundwater pumpers distributing PFAS contaminated water to their customers are being identified as the culpable party that needs to make it right, exactly what we don't want to have happen. And they paint a pretty scary picture and a very expensive picture. And I think that I would just encourage all of us, when we're dealing, talking about water issues in our communities, when we're talking about possible relocation of major water treatment facilities, that we take into account and in our looking at our upcoming changes to our water costs, that we're attuned to the fact that down the line, if these contaminants do show up above the MCL, which we would then, I presume, need to develop treatment to bring them down below an MCL, could be a very expensive proposition. And I appreciate the heads up on this very much. It's good for us to be out in front of it. Anything else? And thank you for the report, Mr. Brown, and I think this is a receive and reviewed and appreciated. Next we have item 8C, information and review of discussion of the Sanitary District Survey Inspection Report that was completed by the State Water Resources Control Board.
Thank you, President Barney, members of the board. This item, we also wanted to bring to the board's attention and to the public's attention for, you know, just disclosure of how we operate our water utility. And Mr. Marchino is going to come up and talk a little bit about excuse me, his experience in responding to sanitary survey inspections. What we tried to do in the staff report is kind of outline how they work. And we included the letter that we received from the Division of Drinking Water along with staff responses so that you could see exactly where we were in terms of meeting the requirements. But this is a regular occurrence for water districts that the Division of Drinking Water does statewide. And it really does have a positive impact in terms of ensuring that water utilities are meeting all their requirements. And I might ask Mr. Marachino to come up and talk about, he's been through a lot of these. He knows when DDW is going to come knocking on our door, and he's dealt with a lot of these letters, and I worked closely with him in terms of developing these responses to make sure that we were on top of letting the state know where we were. And I think now, even after today, we finished maybe the last outstanding item in terms of responding to the Division of Drinking Water, which was a response plan for how we're going to rehabilitate our $1 million gallon tank. It's probably worth more than $1 million. But Mr. Marachino, if you could just let us know maybe how many sanitary surveys you've been through and the value you believe they provide.
Good evening, Board. Tony Marachino, Utility Assistant Manager. This is the third, possibly the fourth sanitary survey I've completed with Oceano CSD. And sanitary surveys are a great way to have another set of eyes, take a look how we're operating. And it also, since we have such a small group, we all participate with the representative from Division of Drinking Water. And there was a few changes that we had to implement. One of them is the site sample plan. We have increased our back tees throughout the system just because the population has slowly increased in Oceano. Instead of taking two a week, we are taking three of those a week. It is a good chance for the staff to ask questions with the Division of Drinking Water and hopefully get some of the new requirements coming down so we can stay ahead or be aware of it. There is a site sample website that we do take a look at weekly and monthly to see where we're at with the sampling requirements with the state, and it only pertains to us, and we're the only ones who can log on, make sure we're staying in compliance. And it's just a good way to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. There were some new requirements. We had to get some new testing equipment so we can test for ammonia in our tanks and nitrites, which are NO2. Any questions right now?
Did they discuss PFAS?
Not directly with us, no. That is something we are signed up with the EPA. We did sign up our water system probably over a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So they did discuss that probably a year and a half ago. We are signed up, and that is through the UCMR, the Unregulated Contaminant Monitoring Rule, and that is UCMR 5. That's currently we will be sampling in 2025. As soon as we get notified, they
right.
send us the entire kit, including the pen, the paper, the gloves, and the procedures on how to sample, where to sample, and we do mail that back to their laboratory.
So where do you sample at a well?
Where their requirements are, we sample, yes. Whether
it
it's a point of entry from Lopez or our two wells, yes.
Okay.
They will identify the exact locations.
One
cost to us.
Yeah, one minor correction to Mr. Maricino's point. On page 2 of 3 of the letter from Division of Drinking Water, they do outline the new requirements for PFAS testing, and we provided our response that we have completed our first round of testing. So they did mention it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Maricino.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I have. I wanted the nitrates. Do you have? You say you tested for nitrates inside
the
well?
So in the reservoir, in the tanks, if you lose chlorine residual, if it gets down low enough, nitrification can happen in the tanks. So we do have the equipment. If the chlorine residual falls out just because of the heat not turning over the tank enough, yes, we have the ability to test for nitrites.
And if there's found, then you treat it?
You would dose the tank to eliminate the nitrification of the tanks, get the chlorine residual up.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
I think that Helsing has problems with selenium and nitrates. Yeah, and I think that's one reason they're bringing the change in.
Yes. And so. Selenium can cause, if you're over the MCL, long exposure, fingernail loss, hair loss, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a very important... yes, well, that's discussion. Any other questions for Mr. Maricino?
No, thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Mr. Brown, did you have anything else to add on this? Okay, we'll go to public comment on item 8C, 9C. See no public comment? Okay. And I'd just like to... this was, I think, my first read through on a report like this, Mr. Maricino, and I really was impressed. I think you do a smart job, and I think your attitude about it is like, wow, this is a great learning opportunity, kind of going both ways and to embrace it that way, and it shows. And so thank you, and thank your whole team for the work that you do and the work that staff put into this as well. Appreciate it. Okay, then moving on, this is our an action item to approve grant writing consultant services for the Small Community Funding Program by Drinking Water State Revolving Fund and other grant writing services. Mr. Brown?
Thank you, President Varney, members of the board. Item 9D, we're looking for the board to consider approving, authorizing the general manager to get into some grant writing consultant service contracts with perhaps Rick Engineering. One thing I will know that back in March, I believe, the board got together and looked at MNS. They had a proposal for around $22,000. The board approved that, and so we've already encumbered those funds. But what we're looking at is those services to help our water CIP, our waterline improvement project. I believe we have about $1 million grant on the books. We believe that's $3 million was our prelim estimate. It could be up to 3.5 once we update that engineering report. So we are underfunded. We saw our fund balance, a nice big fund balance in our water fund. We don't want to rip into all of that to get the CIP done, so grant writing services are going to be super important for us to fund the rest of that project. We evaluated both the RIC proposal and the MNS proposal, and staff is recommending RIC for a couple reasons. I think their cost point is a little better. They're local. We have a good working relationship with them. And I also believe that when it comes to a couple of their services that they may be able to provide for other needs we have, they're willing to address those. And we included both proposals for the board's consideration. And I'm happy to take any questions on either of the scopes from MNS or RIC Engineering on grant writing services.
Mm-hmm. Director Gibson?
Yes, on, I think it is Rick, the additional on-call grant writing services, $7,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, so is that on this particular grant or other grants?
Separate. We foresee that as either. I believe that we could get by on this particular set of grants with what we have in that below that 7,000. But what I thought I would ask the board to do is authorize that for the rest of this fiscal year, because things come up sometimes and you need assistance and you have grant deadlines. And so I thought an on-call service contract would help us be nimble when it comes to going after grants with short deadlines.
Okay, so they might help us, but it will cost. I mean,
yeah.
And was MNS given that opportunity too?
They certainly would be willing to do that as well. I don't think they got it included in their proposal, but I would consider that equal. I'm sure they'd be willing to do that as well.
Okay. And I had another question in general. So do you anticipate writing any grants?
Absolutely, yeah. Anything we can do in-house, we'll do in-house. There's a bit of a technical nature when it comes to the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund.
Right.
And so I think, you know, having specialists help with that is helpful. I think there's one proposal in there for searching for electric vehicle funds. I think with the board has set aside $65,000. Mm-hmm. We think that gets us about halfway to one of these EVs. And so if there's a, you know, something that we can do in-house, we'll definitely do it in-house.
Okay. So is the really the only real difference the $1,000?
Yeah, minor cost difference.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Are you...
Go ahead.
Are you familiar with... I'd never heard of RIC Engineering. Are you familiar... Were you?
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Before?
Yeah, they're... They have a San Luis Obispo office. They have statewide presence. They do all kinds of engineering work, and they have grant writing specialists on their staff.
Okay.
Any other questions for clarification here?
So you're just saying that you would like to bring them on because they're a little more cost-effective?
They're a little more cost-effective. I'll be honest. I think the proposals are very similar. There's not a big difference in terms of the quality of the work. If the board has a strong preference for one over the other, that'd be fine with us. And again, You've already taken action looking at MNS to provide, I think, $22,000 and some change worth of services prior this year. So that money's already been set aside. Allotted. And if we're looking at $25,000 to $32,000, I believe we identified that our CIP fund has $150,000, so we already have a place envisioned to advance our capital improvements.
Okay, and no more questions of clarification by directors. Then we'll open this up to public comment.
I just want one comment and make sure that we, the same thing that didn't happen, you know, last time happens again, to where part of Arroyo Grande or something is put in the mix and we don't get the grant.
We'll be super clean on that.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, then bring it back for discussion among the board and in terms of the decision we're being asked to make here, which is in basically to, if we're good with moving forward with, you know, hiring a grant writer for this project, and I understand your arguments for that, Mr. Brown, it's important for this one. Which one do we want to choose? And we have, I think at this point invested close to $60,000 in NMS or MNS, and we have zero to show for it. The last proposal that they came forward with had to be pulled because they discovered, once they got into it, that we did not satisfy the disadvantaged community criteria. That happened another time on a grant from them. So I am definitely supportive of utilizing a new grant writer. I think the more that we have experience with and the more they have experience with us, the more effective we can be. And this is not, I don't want to be overly critical of MNS, but I think this would be a time to give another local business an opportunity. And then I just wanted to, in terms of the $1 million that we got from federal infrastructure money for our water CIP, we had, and I think I want to acknowledge the work that Director Villa did in terms of being a strong advocate for us going for this money. There didn't seem to be a lot of staff, you know, kind of initiative on it, and you really spoke up for that yes, we need to do it, and it didn't take much to write to get it together. And Director Villa and myself lobbied and did a lot of public mobilization with the senator and with the Healthy Communities Working Groups and other locals, electeds, to get support for that. And if things had gone the way we wanted, and as Congressman Carbo Hall wanted, he had put in $3 million for us, and you know, we were pretty excited because we initially got that we were going to get that $3 million, which would have been wonderful. Things changed, budgets had to be cut, so we ended up with $1 million, which is nice, but I think that there may be, certainly the elected officials look favorably upon our community, and hopefully we can leverage that into more funding in the future for these kinds of projects. Those are my comments.
May we have staff respond to the MNS gave zero in return for the money we invested?
President Varney and Director Gibson, I don't have the details on that. I will say one thing to keep in mind is that we didn't go through with the $22,000 that we envisioned with MNS because we did determine that we didn't meet the criteria required for that grant. So if it was a $60,000 expenditure, and I don't know the number exactly, remember we're asking that cost savings, the $22K, be rolled into this next contract. But Ms. Cassiola, do you have any other information on use of M&S for grant writing?
We've used M&S for a grant for the Clean California grant that was available through Caltrans, I believe, and that's where we didn't receive a grant.
Wasn't there another one?
We issued the $22,000 encumbrance, but we never went through with the contract because they established we weren't going to qualify for a disadvantaged community. But I can only think of the Clean California grant we used M&S for because of the timing.
Right. And Clean California wasn't, necessarily going to happen. We knew that,
And I believe it was out of, if I'm remembering, I'll have to look, it was out of facilities budget. This was a while ago. 11,000. Was it lighting? I can look it up, but I'd have to come back to you with the exact amount of that contract and which funds it came out of.
So it sounds like I don't have a real clear understanding of that in terms of how much we have, how many times we've contracted with them for services.
As far as I've been here, twice, and one we didn't go through, which is the encumbrance in part of this agenda package, and the other one was for the Clean California grant, and I want to say it was probably like $33,000, and if you give me a moment, I can look it up.
So the Clean California Act was the one that we
went through with and didn't receive the grant.
We didn't receive anything because we weren't considered a disadvantaged community because we were part of a RAG grant. It was thrown into the mix or something. That was it.
And I can't remember if it...
So we didn't even have a chance. So it was like kind of like their mistake because they should have...
We still turned in a grant. We just... application. We didn't grant it. I'm not a part of the granting agency, so I don't know why they didn't determine us. I'm sure not being a disadvantaged community doesn't help.
If I remember, they picked, 250 out of 400, applications.
There's a lot of competition for that. And I don't think that's anything to do with the word granting.
President Varney, members of the board, one thing I will say is that I have a lot of experience in both grant writing and funding. So I've been on both sides of the table. There's a lot more money out there now than there was 5 or 10 years ago, but it's a lot more competitive. And so one of the things that I will bring, and I think staff in general will bring, is a discerning eye as to which programs we should go over, which ones we have a likelihood of getting. You're not going to get them all, but I also want to make sure we invest our time and our resources in grants we have a good chance of getting. This is one of them, and the main reason, I'll tell you what it is, we've completed our, when the board met 2 weeks ago, you certified our mitigated negative declaration. When you have environmental clearance and full design done, that's a shovel-ready project. And so we're going to be competitive and going after this money because of where we are and the prep work we've done to get here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, and Clean California was really based on points. And because, we didn't get as many points for disadvantaged as we've gotten before, but we got extra points because of the train depot. So there was, there was a whole list of things that you could score. And it wasn't just one thing that kept us out. Mm-hmm.
Just a final point on Director Villa's issue that she brought up about, there was a certain census tract in Oceano that has multiple million-dollar homes on it. And that knocked us for a big loop, yeah. And unfortunately, there was a provision in the grant proposal project to apply for an exception for exactly that reason, that you can have a DAC that has a strip of million-dollar homes that skews the whole impression. And that deadline was ignored and never addressed. So, and I think this is something, and I have 100% confidence in you, Mr. Brown, that nothing like that would happen in terms of, moving any distance forward with somebody if we don't know that, in fact, we qualify for a grant like that.
I don't remember that being an issue, the million-dollar houses. So. Oh.
Well, it was.
One thing I'll say.
You say so.
President Varney, on this particular water state revolving fund, I looked at the criteria. The criteria is below 85% of the median area income, and I ran the numbers for our eligible tracts. We're at 84.5%. We're just under. So the critical criteria for the small community funding program we meet right now for this grant cycle.
Then I think we're ready to look for a motion to approve moving forward and designating a grant writer.
I move that we approve the grant writing consultants and services for small community funding. Am I in the right place here? Yeah.
It's 9D.
Community funding program by Drinking Water State Revolving Fund and other grant writing services. The okay. Drinking water threw me out. Okay.
And would you, it's been moved. I think would you like to have the vendor or the grant writing organization included in this motion?
Yes, it's clear for us.
Yeah.
Staff recommendation is for RIC Engineering for $25,000 for Task 1 and 2 and $7,000 for Task 3.
Okay.
If that's part of the motion.
Would you be comfortable?
It's part of that.
Okay. So I'll second that.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Varney?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And Joyce Vice President Joyce Sonneson.
Yes.
Sorry about that. And as I just remembered which funds they were out of, it was the lighting, the garbage, and the facility. $33,000.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful hard drive.
It just takes a moment. Obviously, I've dropped Vice President.
Okay, moving on to our next action item, 9E. Consider and discuss the 2024 committee assignments. And Mr. Brown.
Yeah, President Varney, members of the board, last meeting 2 weeks ago, we had this item before you, and we almost nominated an absent board member to fill a role, but we thought we'd bring it back to the board. I think we are good in terms of the attachment, which outlines who's assigned to what committee. But I think for the most part, we have run into at least one occasion that I know of, maybe more than one, where we didn't designate an alternate, and then we have trouble getting quorums and finding backup support. So aside from what's outlined in the staff report, the one question is, would the board like to appoint someone to be an alternate to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, OPARC?
I'd like to nominate Aline for that.
We nominated you.
Second.
But we didn't want to wait until you were here.
So you have been nominated, Director Villa. Would you be willing to serve in that capacity?
Yes.
Okay. We'll call the... yes, excuse me. Let's open it up for public comment on this item, action item.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And I noticed that you have lined out the Central Coast Blue Committee. And while I don't suggest that you reenact that tonight, but maybe the January iteration that we normally do these committee assignments, breathe life back into it, because it's alive and things are happening. They have been holding meetings at PISMO as part of their joint.
I was going to say, the Central Coast Blue Committee's having meetings?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yes.
I know.
Actually, so the Joint Powers Authority that is PISMO Beach and PISMO Beach, PISMO Beach's finance arm and its city council, are meeting. They haven't met very much, I think three times since the project was put on pause and the JPA was restructured, but they are meeting and they are talking about the project. So there should still be interest from Oceano, and I hope you pay attention.
So they're meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. No, please, no, no comments right now.
She can ask me a question if the chair allows.
Well, when we close public comment, I'll do that. Okay. All right. Then we'll close public comment. And are there any comments by directors or staff?
Yeah. So they're meeting with among themselves, just the city of Pismo.
That's right. That's the new formation of the Joint Powers Authorities.
Just Pismo Beach. And are they meeting? Is it public notice meetings?
They're usually combined with their regular Pismo Beach City Council.
Who said they hadn't? Was it Pamela said that they didn't post that they were meeting? Or
they are.
That
they are. You gotta have a keen eye. And I'd be happy to forward those to you when they happen.
Sure.
Because I'm always watching.
And Mr. President Brown. Varney, I'll take responsibility for the strike-through. I do not believe that the Central Coast Blue Committee, as it was prior envisioned, is still meeting. But in terms of committee assignments, they don't change. If that committee comes back up and becomes active, we already have a primary and a secondary, so I think we're good to go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so we'll call for the question.
All right. Vice President Joyce Sonneson? Sorry, I should repeat the motion for everyone. Vice President Joyce Sonneson nominated Director Villa, and Director Gibson seconded it for the O Park alternate. Oceano Community Parks and Rec Committee alternate. Okay. Vice President Joyce Sonneson?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes. Thank you, Director Villa. Next up, an information item, 9F. This is to review the Lucia Mar Unified School District as fiscal sponsor for fundraising and donations related to OPARC committee projects. Mr. Brown?
Yeah, thank you, President Varney, members of the board. Staff has been working behind the scenes to kind of address some of the issues that the board has discussed in terms of the question of fundraising for community track. I know that the county took action to award actually OCSD CDBG grant funds in the amount of, I think, $25,700. We took some time to work with Lucia Mar Unified School District as well as the county. We believe that with this question of how we do fundraising and who receives the grant, because the project will be on Lucia Mar Unified School District property, it makes sense that they become the direct recipient of the CDBG grants from the county. We explained that to county staff. We worked with the school district staff, and everyone agreed with that. The only issue we ran into was the county had already taken action to award the funds to us. They needed to go back to the board. They did it on a consent item. I think it was a week ago yesterday. And took the board, the County Board of Supervisors took action to allow the CMR to be the direct recipient of that CDBG grant. That's good for us from an administrative standpoint. And I think continue to work with the school district on some of the fundraising questions that we had had in terms of whether we need to get a third party sponsor, a nonprofit of some sort. I believe that what we've outlined in the staff report will be cleaner if Lucia Mar takes that role. In terms of receiving donations beyond the CDBG grant funds. So no action is required of the of your board at this time, but we did want to update you as to where those projects were landing and how the funds are being allocated from the county directly to the school district, and it'll save at least OCSD a little bit of administrative time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from directors? Yes, Director Gibson.
So if people write a check, it would be directly to Lucia Mar, correct?
Ideally, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I think there's still some nuts and bolts to be worked out for the fundraising mechanism, whether that's the school district itself or whether the PTO takes on that role. Right. But I think for the most part, the short answer is yes.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. So then there'll be an actual rollout of a program so people know when they can...
Yeah, there's some discussions on when we do that. I think the timing is going to be a little sensitive, but I know there's a lot of interest, and so I would say stay tuned over the next few months as to when that rolls out.
Okay, good.
Other questions? Okay, we will open this up for public comment on item 9F. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Any further board discussion?
No.
I'd like to comment that this is a really a great example of a collaboration between the CMR School District and the Oceano Community Services District, as well as Habitat for Humanity, as we move forward with the community walking track and soccer field project. And the generosity of the school district is not to be underestimated by anybody. As we all know, we don't have 3 acres of available parkland in our community for a walking track or a soccer field. And currently, if you're putting together a project, a grant, a proposal, and you have to estimate the cost of an acre of raw parkland, the agreed upon ballpark figure is to around $130,000 an acre. So with that, and that this is 3 acres of land at the CMR School District that's going to be used by the community and the school, and they're putting in the equivalent of almost $400,000, and strongly supporting it. So this is it's something that, you know, I hope that 97% of people in the community can get behind when we get to the point where we're looking to bring in the money. So thank you for the work that you did on this, Mr. Brown and Ms. Cassiola, and getting these logistics. We have more work to do on that down the line, but I think that'll all get worked out pretty smoothly over the next couple of months. We'll move on to item AG. This is an action item. Review and consideration of the OCSD district applying for a county community project grant application for a community celebration of the Oceano Plaza.
Yeah. Thank you, President Vardy, members of the board. In the theme of late breaking news, last week, before the agenda was put together, a lot of discussions were happening in terms of how we celebrate the completion of the plaza. I know it sounds like the Department of Transportation has picked a date for a ribbon cutting celebration. I think September 12th is the date that I heard and put into the staff report. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's also been discussions regarding a further community celebration. I put the information that I had at the time into the staff report. I know President Varney's been involved in some of these, and I thought it would be appropriate for the whole board to consider how we participate in the community celebration, whether or not we look to seek grant funding from the District 4 County Board of Supervisors office. But I'm happy to tell you what I know and facilitate the board discussion. I think we are looking for some action here. One of the actions would be if the board is interested in seeking funds from District 4. I think another question that I've heard from some board members is timing, level of participation, those type of things. But I'm happy to turn it over to board at this point.
Okay. So we'll open it up for questions from directors.
So the ribbon cutting, you said, is September 12th?
I saw an email from Caltrans that identified that date.
September 12th, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's the official ribbon cutting with all the dignitaries, like from the state.
Okay. September 12th, 11 a.m. at the plaza.
It's on a Thursday.
I had a few questions. So I guess one thing is if the ribbon cutting is the 12th of September and then there's discussion of October 6th, that's pretty quick. So what does the second celebration, what does that bring that's not already being done by the ribbon cutting celebration?
Is there any plan? I know we got your email and it said, you know, you had plans for music and the businesses and everything, but is there any plan written up yet, or has there been any, or is this just something we're looking into?
We're just starting it. There's no plan. And well, the plan is to at least conceptually, would be that on behalf of OCSD, OPARC would take the facilitation lead in terms of getting a planning team together for the event, which would be comprehensive, inclusive of the community, certainly VACO, any other Boys and Girls Club, I mean, certainly our organizational members that would want to be participating in it, representatives from the public, representatives from businesses around the plaza, and then anybody else you think should be there that, you know, hasn't been mentioned. And I think with all of those heads together, we could pull something together.
I agree, pretty well. I just want to offer my opinion on, I think it's fine to get the grant for the money and the whole event.
If I may interrupt, I think it's good to have any clarifying questions on the report at this
right.
time.
Yeah.
And then go to public comment and then perhaps have the discussion and the deliberation.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay. That's. I'm sorry. I got out of questions and got into statements.
I have another question. On the page 198, it says, if the grant is awarded, other costs could go towards event planning, implementation of community benefits. So are you saying that some of the funds would go towards future events?
I believe this is a one-time event type of a grant program. So the way it's envisioned in my reading of it
uh-huh.
is that it's an allocation of funds for a specific community event, and it would be at this day and time. I don't know that October 6th is a locked date, but I do know that when you apply for the grant, it should be specific to a given place and time.
Okay. And then I think the real big question is how much time is it, how is staff going to be involved? How much time will it take them? Because I think this is a pretty big project to put together.
I don't have a good estimate for that right now. I do appreciate the board's consideration of staff's limited resources. But I believe some of those questions are yet to be answered because it is so early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we'll open this up to public comment on item 9G.
When can we rent the plaza? How do we set that up? Where's the application? So I just need to have some clarification on that, I guess, for future, not necessary tonight, but can we address that in the future, please? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Brown?
Yeah, President Barney, members of the...
Excuse me, we have another, have another public comment. Ms. Dury?
Good evening, April Durian. I'd like to piggyback on Kim's question to start. I think it's a very valid question. Your staff report discusses future events at this plaza and potential permits, et cetera, for future things. But now it sounds like you're not talking about that. You're only talking about the money from the county in order to have a ribbon cutting. So your staff report's a little confusing in that way. I hope you understand that. And so I think I understand maybe why she's asking this, because we talk about that here. And I would really like to understand how the OCSD has any jurisdiction over property it does not own in order to provide permits to anybody at all. So I feel like a horse is over here and a cart is over here, and we're in the middle talking about both of those things that haven't met yet. That's my first concern. My second concern, if we are truly only talking, and you're not going to vote about the rest of this stuff here, but if we're truly only talking about the money coming in from the county, you know, that's money that really should be used for other things, I believe. I know that the county has really pulled back on providing money. The VACO, OAC back in the day, everybody's got their hands out. Everybody wants some help in their little areas from the county. I really like that there's an official ribbon cutting by the Caltrans or whoever, but I do understand a concern, like even I would have, that it's during the week in the middle of a day when most people can't participate. Well, most people who work regular jobs can't participate versus the Sunday. So I like a Sunday idea. I just don't know why we should get the money from the county versus why can't we just have people just be there? Just what are we providing them? Like hamburgers from, you know, a place at $1,500 an event? Like, what are we doing for this? So I think it's a little too soon to ask for this money. I would like to say that without any idea of what we were going to spend it on. But moving forward, I would like us to bring back the discussion of what is the OCSD's role to hold events on property they don't own, to take care of permits and fees and all these things. I feel like we're not there yet, or we shouldn't even be there at all. That's not the way we pay our water bill and our sewer bill and our trash bill. Thank you.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And there is some confusion in the staff report. You're talking about two different things. And I hope that the third paragraph where it says OCSD staff has made significant progress in working with Caltrans and Slo County regarding maintenance, responsibility, and all those things in the future. That's a separate item. And so I want to talk about that at some point. Right now, I want to say divestiture has left you lean and mean. You need to be streamlined and focused on the vital services you provide: water, wastewater. That's health and safety. Having a party for the community, if the county grants this $2,500 to you, hooray. Have it on a weekend when we can come, when families can come and enjoy it. So I'm not opposed to having a party. I am concerned about those vital services and any effort in managing the property. You're not a permitting authority. You're not. What are you going to sweep it? Are you going to have your utility guys out there? I don't think you want that responsibility or the liability. And how much time has your general manager already spent in these significant progress towards those things? Because I didn't hear the board direct him to go do that. Get responsibility for something you have no way of paying yourself back for. Surely, if you had permitting authority over the plaza, you would put an admin fee in there. But the entire buildup to getting there is not getting paid for. So I would say, agendize it, let's talk about it, and stop any more working with the county and Caltrans on how it's managed
until you know that the board fully wants to go forward with that. And I don't know what line item you're going to pull that money out of to pay for him to go and talk to these people, to negotiate that kind of future care of the property.
Thank you. Any other further public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Mr. Brown, would you like to respond?
Sure. President Varney, members of the board, there are two things happening in this staff report. One is distinct. It is the question before the board of whether or not you'd like to apply for a community celebration fund of $2,500 from District 4. I did include the third paragraph in discussion because that is the current vision right now in speaking with Caltrans and with the county. About 10% of the plaza is in county right-of-way along Highway 1. 90% of it, excuse me, state. 10% of it is in state right-of-way on Highway 1, and 90% of it is in county right-of-way, which the Public Works Department manages. The Public Works Department at the county has sent us some models for, I believe, Los Osos and Templeton in terms of an encroachment permit. They're interested in our partnership in terms of issuing us a blanket encroachment permit that we would then pass on to a community group, a farmer's market group, someone who wants to use, same thing with a street closure. Anytime you do a street closure, you got to get an encroachment permit to do that. That happens in cities all over the county and all over the state. So it would be an encroachment permit to enter the right-of-way and hold an event, provided that you have traffic control plan if you need one, insurance, indemnification, responsibility for, you know, cleaning up after your event, meeting noise ordinance, all those things. The county has that system in place. What I told them, and similar to what you've heard from some of the public comment, we don't have a lot of the resources to maintain the right-of-way, to spend staff time and on maintenance and activity there. And so there's a limited role that we could play. But I thought rather than speaking with the public works director at the county and the deputy director, before committing to anything, we do want to have a space that can be used by community groups or anybody who wants to use it. And I think it's good to see how it goes. I think 6-month period between now and the end of the year, perhaps another trial period for 2025. Once we see the level of activity, the level of responsibility, we'll be in a better place to enter into a permanent agreement or not with the county with respect to assisting them and, you know, basically being a pass-through for that encroachment permit. So that's the framework. Again, that's down the line. The question before you tonight really relates to whether or not the board is interested in seeking community project grant funds from District 4.
Thank you. Further discussion or comments by the board?
I want to say that I agree with everything the speakers all said. It's very premature to try to plan a big celebration in 4 weeks or right at this time. It's just, it can't be done. I know because I do it all the time, and I know what it takes to put something of that size together and the organization you have to get with people and stuff. And so the idea is a great idea, you know, maybe down the road when we know what's going on there. Right now it's all new. It's all, we don't know who's manning, you know. So I think I'd like to see, you know, that happen, but I think it's way too premature right now. We need to get it open and get it going and see what's going on. I know we have a group that wants to do something there for Halloween, you know, but we need to know who to approach about it, you know. So I think we need to get into the basics of
if I may, President Varney and Director Austin, let's take that as a scenario. Let's say there's a group that wants to do an event on October 31st. If we have an encroachment permit that has been issued to OCSD by the county, we would be able to then pass that permit along to a party that wants to do it. If that mechanism isn't in place by, say, October 15th, then the encroachment permit would be sought directly from the county. for, you know, use of the plaza.
Right.
And so that's the way that would work, depending on when they get us a document that I would ask legal counsel to review, make sure it meets all requirements for safety and insurance indemnification that we could, you know, buy off on. So it's a great question. How do we operationalize it? How do we use the
that's
plaza?
What I think and I think what your idea of the community thing would be something down the road where, you know, like have a fall festival or, you know, do something where you have time to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it in a short time. It would be a flop. And it would it's just not the right timing.
Director Gibson?
Yeah, I think time is a big issue, and it might be a good idea to think of something else like the fall festival, because essentially we would be doing a repeat of what was done a month earlier, and it seems like that doesn't make it very unique if we're, you know, having the same type of celebration as the ribbon cutting is doing. And then also when you were talking about the encroachment permit and all of that, I mean, it seems like this event would be kind of test driving the idea of, you know, the encroachment and then, you know, traffic and insurance, et cetera. I mean, we don't know how costly that's going to be.
Just even the insurance with this, the counties has the it would be the county insurance. But like for a group using it, would they have to, you know, have additional insurance and all that? So we'd have to.
Yeah. So if we don't know those numbers and we start planning, it seems like we're leaving a big piece out of the plan.
If there's a deadline, if you've already talked about getting the grant, I mean, you could go ahead and but then where would that money go? I don't know. I just think we're premature, and it, you know, good idea, but I just think it's something we can do it the right way. Do it, give us time to get all the groups involved and really, really, you know, have a nice event with, you know, have different groups all taking part.
And I think the other thing, when I looked at the application, I mean, the county wants a lot of specifics, you know, how many people and what are the events and how many children are going to participate. And so, you know, they want a lot of information tied down that might be hard to do in a short time.
Mr. Schultz, did you have something?
I think Peter kind of correctly stated it, at least for this time being, because it is not our property and we haven't got a blanket encroachment permit and gone through those steps. And we wouldn't do that until we brought that back to you with all those information. Right now, if someone wanted to hold an event there, they'd go directly through the county. And that's kind of a separate issue then for tonight, which is just deciding
right,
whether
we can't
to apply
yeah.
for this grant.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, the encroachment, the blanket encroachment permit, and then any encroachment permit that's going to be issued has to have insurance. You've got your waivers in there. You've got everything protected.
I mean, we have to have a whole plan for your cleanup.
And before we would take that over, we would, you know, if we're going to do the blanket encroachment permit and then do it, we need to know what the staff time is, what that entails, because it has to be neutral, revenue neutral for sure, so that the permits are going to, whatever the permit costs, would have to cover all of that. Otherwise,
and I'm really not
have the revenue.
Yeah, well,
so I don't
comfortable
think we've
with
yet.
Any
so
staff
let's
time
step back. And the main
at
issue
this time
is
right now.
To
yeah.
apply for the grant. And the question just hearing that I have hearing it is if it is too soon for the October 8th, and that's the majority of the board, you could still put in for the grant and make it for this fall celebration. So you have more time to
right.
do it a little bit later. I don't think there's anything that said we had to do it on the October 8th.
No.
So
no.
you could ask for it for a different event and get it now instead of waiting until October 8th. And then you say, well, I don't know when the fall celebration is, but if you don't do it now and ask for it and wait another month, then you're going to be too close to the fall celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the encroachment and all of that with the county, is the county willing to pay for some of that?
What I believe is some of the $2,500 is going to come to us and go directly back to them for the encroachment permit.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I meant
they're going to charge us for that?
No, I meant when we do the blanket.
Someone has, I mean, because they'll have people that will do, I mean, to process any encroachment causes money. So if we would need it from the county, now maybe they would waive it for us so we could use all the $2,500 here for the event, for music or for food or for banners or whatever is needed to make it successful.
Yeah.
But they could very well say that, you know, you have to pay fees.
When is the deadline for this grant? The deadline for applying? Is there a deadline? There has to be.
Is there a deadline? Did you?
I don't know if there's a deadline or not. I think it relates to when you want to receive the money by.
It's the super, yeah, you just apply. And
So it's going to take time anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't have the money before.
One more point on that.
Excuse me, Director Gibson. I'd like to give other directors a chance to speak once before you speak four times. Director Sunnison, did you have any comments?
No.
I'd like to say a few things about this. First and foremost, a value I hear expressed a lot in this community and in this room is about local autonomy and local control. So what we're talking about here in terms of OCSD having an encroachment permit and basically managing the plaza with and receiving fees to pay for the costs that are involved in doing that, so it's revenue neutral or maybe earns some money for the district, is really important part of this, and it's something that the county, at least what I've kind of concluded from listening to them, would be open and willing to have us take on that role. Caltrans has been very clear that it is important, in fact, it's critical that our community claim ownership of that space. And we do that by utilizing it, by having events, mm-hmm. By identifying with it that this is a community space. It's not a, you know, daytime hangout for people just to be around. That's an issue, in terms of this event. It would be sort of a beta test, and as is correctly pointed out, a Halloween party is going to have to go through all of these permitting issues. Would you want to go through it with OCSD, or do you want to go through it with the county? And at this point, I don't know if even the county's set up to start managing it. I put together a lot of events in my life, and a month to put together a community celebration of the Oceano Plaza, or you want to call it a fall celebration of fall and grand opening of the Oceano Community Plaza, it is a very different event than the ribbon cutting, which is going to be a whole lot of politicians and agency staff making speeches. The party, the celebration party, is a party. It's music, it's dancing, it's kids doing skits, it's, you know, whatever this team can pull together. If we need some more time for that, I mean, a few more weeks, I don't have any problem with that.
Who's going to arrange it all, though? Who's going to, you expect, like, the OCSD staff to get the music and the people and the food and everything? Who are the people that are going to actually approach and put it on? Who's the committee?
The team. I earlier reiterated it. O Park is leading it. to and inclusive for the entire community.
To
this would be
wants.
A
so
great
Oak Park would be completely.
So whoever wants to participate in it, any community organization, so it would be Baco.
Right, we put out a request, you know, people, you put it out.
Boys and
we
Girls
put
Club.
It out, Boys and Girls. We invite Oak Park organizations.
If to do it now, it's way too soon. You have to
and
change.
Can I please finish my comments? So this would be a great opportunity for VACO to step up and start participating in Oceano Community Services District events. VACO has been invited to have a seat at Oak Park, and they haven't come in, but this would be a great opportunity to do that.
VACO's very involved with that, and we are planning a nice event over there also.
I think we're getting a little off topic.
I think it's all about
the grant, right? Do we want
a
grant?
Know.
Yeah, well, if we don't have a date, we cannot apply for the grant. You can't apply for a grant with no date.
Is that correct?
Well, then apply for it when we have a date, but this date of October 6th is not going to work. I know it won't work because I...
What date would work?
I'd say you need to do
sometime
it way...
in November?
In November, yeah.
Late November,
you've got to have time to contact people. You can't just
in
go
November,
next week and you show up, you know, and you know what... I'm not going to insult you like you try to do us. So.
Well, I...
President Barney, members of the board, if I could just interject briefly... we do have a meeting scheduled for September the 18th. It sounds like there is enough question from the board. You can take the action to direct us to apply for the grant or not. September 18th, we could bring this item back. You could ask that we reconsider it at a future meeting date. Perhaps between now and then, some of these groups that are interested in participating would have some more time. But... the question before the board tonight is, would you like us to apply for the grant? Would you like to continue the item to a future meeting date as another option?
Okay.
So in order to apply for the grant, again, my question is, do you have to put the date of the event?
Very detailed specifics are requirement. Number of attendees, date of the grant, purpose, a lot of things, date of the event, details are required, yes.
Okay. So.
Can I speak for the fifth time?
Director Gibson, you have the floor.
Thank you. Just one point, legal counsel. On the encroachment, the blanket encroachment permit, I'm talking about during the year. Like if there's X amount of events, what is that going to cost us?
Right. That issue isn't on the table. I know
okay.
It was part of it. But
well,
that's not.
I wasn't sure if you were including that when we were talking earlier. You were talking about the grant. Okay.
Through that grant, once you obtain the grant, if we haven't worked out a blanket encroachment, not knowing all those costs yet, we would obtain the encroachment permit from the county. As anybody else in the interim period, if they want to have an event there next month, you'd contact the county, not us, because we don't have that.
Okay, I just wanted that clarification.
And before that blanket encroachment would be approved, you'd have to show how all those costs are going to work and how it would work if that's where we would go. But it can provide benefits to the district to have a blanket encroachment if it can be revenue neutral. So, I've seen that done many a times in districts.
Okay.
But the question for you is, I think Peter framed it perfectly. Do you want to forward a grant for the October date, or do you want to put it off until September 18th and pick it up again when you can flush out a future date that would work for everyone?
I heard another option in Mr. Brown's comments, and that is that we can vote positively to apply for community project grant when we determine the appropriate date for the event and just leave it open. I can also add that a draft of the application has already been created at no cost to the district, but it's not complete, and obviously staff is going to be involved in that.
So push it to the next agenda, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying fact, I'll make the motion. I move that we vote to approve the OCSD applying for a San Luis Obispo County project grant application for a community celebration of the Oceano Plaza at a date to be determined.
So when are we going to determine it? At the next meeting?
Well, it'll be this topic will be on the next meeting.
I think that we should hold off till the next meeting. I don't think we should take any action.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
Could you repeat that, please?
We vote to make application when the date of the event is determined. When we have a date determined, we make application for the grant.
Why not just wait till the next meeting and do it all at once? Because if we agree to that now, we don't know what the plan is. I mean, we'd be voting ahead of the plan, right?
Well, we can start the planning process before the next meeting.
But we don't know what we're voting for.
We're voting to apply for a grant to support a community celebration. Yeah, I don't think I need to repeat myself a third time on that one.
Okay, but I'm saying we don't know what the activities are. We don't know what's happening at the celebration.
Well, there's going to be music. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be some speeches. There's going to be kids doing things. If it's a fall festival, maybe kids will be coming.
We can discuss the details next meeting.
That's something for the planning committee to talk about. That's the process. We have a community inclusive planning committee group that comes together to talk about what do we want this celebration to look at. That would be the meeting for you to attend to participate in it.
Okay.
Thank you. So, not hearing any further discussion, we have a motion.
President Varney?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Yay.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, moving on. We don't have any hearing items this evening. We don't have any received written communications. Do we have future agenda items?
Actually, I do believe we did receive one written communication.
Sorry.
And so a copy of that is back on the table. And I think it was distributed to the board. No?
No. Yes. Yes. I picked it up.
Yes.
Maybe I missed it.
It was by email, and it was after the agenda was posted, so extra copies are there on the back table as well.
Okay. Is there an action on this? Or?
No, there's no action for the written communication. It's just passing it along to the board and making copies available for the public. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll look forward to it. Okay. So received and noticed on the written communication. Future agenda items. We definitely will have the community celebration coming back.
Bring that back at the September 18th meeting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any others? Okay, hearing none, then.
President Varney, just to be clear, a couple of other items of note for future agenda items.
Okay,
we will be bringing back a media policy at the September 18th meeting. Okay. I believe Mr. Schultz has made some progress on that. And as a reminder to the public and to the board, We're not meeting on the second or fourth Wednesday in September. We're meeting the third Wednesday, which is September 18th.
Right.
And we are doing our four-month trial run of one meeting per month. So I think we're going for the second Wednesday on October, November, and December. And so those agendas might be a little bit longer, but we have a lot planned out. And certainly any other items that come up that the board is interested in, please let me know.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Then thank you, everybody, for your participation. We'll adjourn the meeting.